here with the TechSideline.com recruiting report, Chris Horn. How's that for an intro?
That was very nice. Very nice. That's fourth year, huh? That's pretty impressive. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Now, next year will be my fourth year. This is my third year. I got to live that long first. You know, when you get to be my age, that's a concern. Hey, Chris, 2 weeks from tonight, which blows me away, because I know every year when you and I get started talking, it seems like forever, and the whole, it's like starting a long walk through the woods, and you come out of it and see how you survived. So I want to get a few updates from you before we go on, but two subjects first. Let's get the soapbox out of the way. We talked a little bit last week about young Mr. Thacker from Florida, son of a former Hokie. They don't go to Florida much anymore. I covered that in the story before the Gator Bowl. Lots of reasons why. Number one, more access to the Carolinas and Georgia, and they're doing very well there. Number two, some frustrations in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled three regular recruiters out. They only spot recruit Florida. They recruit Mr. Thacker because his father, of the same name, played at Tech in the 70s. Visiting Florida State, and everything I heard is that on February 1st, we are not going to see his name come across the Hokie fax machine.
That's right. Yeah, it seems I had a chance to speak to Bud last night, and he told me that right now he's leaning towards Florida State. He told me he talked to Coach Beamer yesterday, and he said Coach Beamer was pretty understanding about everything, and that he was going to, Bud was actually going to talk to Bobby Bowden on Friday, and Friday or Saturday is when we can expect to hear like kind of a quote-unquote official announcement, I guess. In terms
another
of
official
go, so.
Announcement, since we've already had one.
But, yeah, so it does seem like certainly he is going to Florida State.
Okay, did they get in on him late? I mean, did they teach the word commitment in Florida schools? Because I can think of, I know there were Mangold and Sims 2 years ago, and that's what kind of caused Tech to pull the trigger. Courtney Denson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I listed, since I've been covering Tech, 10 decommits, 8 of them have been from Florida.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it just seems like it's certainly a different different arena down there, and I think one factor maybe is that those kind of big three, I think it's more really Miami and Florida State, I guess, in the state of Florida, tend to wait a little bit in terms of offering kids, and they offer a little bit later, so perhaps the kids start looking around earlier in the process, but then ultimately those schools are the ones that they really wanted to go to kind of in the end. And it does seem like more, kind of decommitments happen down there in that area and maybe the SEC country as well. So obviously it's happening in kind of all of college football. It's kind of a part of, you know, unfortunately it's a part of the process right now. You can usually count on, at least probably one decommitment in the recruiting class. But it certainly seems like down there, and I guess just in specifically the state of Florida, it just seems like I mentioned, when Florida State and Miami come in with some of the later offers, that's in my opinion how they're able to gain those commitments, just because those kids wanted to go there earlier on and then now have that opportunity a little bit later on.
Yeah, but you know, they have time.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to sign, and you know, everybody thinks February 1st is a deadline. It's not. That's just
right.
The day you can sign people. They can even wait longer than that. I believe Todd Nolan waited a week last year. I just don't. Okay, that's fine. I understand that, but wait. Don't, you know, because Tech chalks him up. They maybe call another defensive lineman and say, you know, we're kind of full now. Maybe you ought to look at that other offer. It's just not. I don't know. Maybe I just am. I don't have the sack for the recruiting game, so to speak. Because I tell you what, if I was a coach and I counted on a kid and he said, yeah, coach, I'm coming, and then called me and said he didn't, I cannot promise anybody I'd be a gentleman about it.
Well, that's, I mean,
that's just me.
I agree with you certainly in terms of the effect on the school, I think. And in some cases, in terms of recruiting, there is some pressure on the kid to commit early. I'm not saying this is necessarily the case, but maybe there is, and they end up making a decision maybe they didn't want to, and then something happens toward the end. That there are certain circumstances, I think, where you can kind of see all points of view. But in terms of just the general thing in terms of when a player commits early to a school and then decommits, and I agree with you in terms of the school will think that they have that defensive tackle or that certain position filled, or at least partly filled in terms of what they want. And as you know, I'm sure going into the process, you kind of have a designated number of players, I think, per position that you really are kind of targeting. And I think just it's unfortunate, especially when and also I think it, in terms of other recruits, I think it has an effect on them if they see, say, Virginia Tech has a couple of or a defensive tackle, and that may influence their thinking in terms of whether they think you know, the depth chart will be good enough in terms of when they get there. So it certainly is an unfortunate part of you know, football recruiting, the decommitment, but unfortunately it's something we have to live with at this point.
I don't know the answer. Frank Beamer's talked about an early signing period, but I don't know if that takes care of all of it. I just don't know. It's just something they've got to live with. You know, you babysit the guys who have committed to you. And we've talked about it at the newspaper. You know, how much do you report on a commitment? Trying to establish some sort of uniform policy, because, you know, a commitment really means nothing.
Right.
particularly when it's, you know, an out-of-the-area kid. You know, like, I know if Bill D calls and says from Phoebus, hey, one of my kids is committing, doesn't matter where it is, I know that's where that kid's going to school. Mark Bendorf at Robinson calls. You know, if Scott Burton calls me from Highland Springs, I know I can take it to the bank. But, you know, some of these, you just know, and it's a dilemma for us. What do we do, you know? Because I wrote a story when Thacker committed and talked about his dad a little bit. You know, come February 1st, he's probably not going to be on their list.
Right.
Just aggravating for everybody involved. And I know you, too, as a recruiting reporter. You know, the kid told you was signing with Virginia Tech. How many times do you have to call him? You got enough other stuff to do. It affects us all. Okay, I'm off the soapbox. Well, we're done. We're done. But I'm really going to see 2 weeks from tonight whose list he shows up on, and I'm going to bet it starts with an S and ends with an M and O's. Anyway, close at home, Greg Minor for Rhino. Tennessee or Michigan, and I'm leaning heavily up north. That's coming soon, right? Doesn't he have an announcement real soon? And I'm thinking it's going to be Michigan.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think it is going to be Michigan as well. Although I think Tennessee did impress him on his official visit. And talking to Coach Wolf, at who's an assistant.
Who is Greg Minor?
Ryan assistant Blanda Wolf. Coach Wolf has told me that he was, you know, Brandon had his Virginia Tech visit set up for this weekend, but he kind of just thought about it, and kind of his gut feeling initially was, you know, that he really wanted to go out of state. And that's the decision he made. That's why he cut his list to two, Tennessee and Michigan. And early on in the process, it seemed like Brandon really wanted to go out of state as well. And then Virginia Tech was able to creep back into the picture over the summer and actually get pretty firmly back into the picture, and obviously got an official visit set up. But Brandon will announce his decision on Friday at his school. I believe it's 1 or 1:30. Is when he's going to make his announcement, and I agree with you. I think it's going to be Michigan, and if he ends up in Michigan, I think he's certainly he's a big running back. He's 6 foot, 220 pounds, and I think he'd do pretty well. I'm looking forward to seeing him. It was on the college level. It was unfortunate that he suffered that injury this year and didn't get to play his entire senior year, because he's an exciting and a productive back. He runs between the tackles, but he has outstanding balance and vision, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does wherever he ends up. But in my opinion, I would say Michigan, but I guess we'll all find out on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, I'm betting you're right. And I tell you what, I won't have to worry about it if he goes to Michigan. But, you know, I knew as soon as I said Greg Minor, I do that sometimes. I get and while you were talking, I'm trying to figure out why did I say Greg Minor? I just figured it out. You know, former Louisville basketball player. Went in the first round. What year was that? Anyway, that's why I had it. My brother used to teach at Louisville. My daughter was born the night Louisville won the 1986 championship.
Oh, wow.
And I convinced my wife, while she was in her drug state giving birth, that we were going to name her Purvis Ellison Harris. And when she came to, she said, "What? We did what?" And suddenly Purvis Ellison Harris was Courtney Suzanne Harris, who thanks me to this day for not naming her Purvis Ellison Harris. Greg Minor stuck in the brain. I apologize for getting that wrong. I knew it was Brandon, but you know, like I said, he's Michigan bound. So, enjoy the frozen north, young man. That surprised me a little bit. I thought he would end up at Tech.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he was going to at least take his official visit to Virginia Tech, and then yeah, I guess he just decided ultimately that he really just wanted to leave the state. And it's kind of similar to, another player I'm sure we'll talk about later on in the program, Hutch Eckerson.
I
was asking him about NC State, because his parents went to NC State, and he obviously grew up in Lumberton, North Carolina, and he was just telling me that he wants to kind of be, you know, in an uncomfortable state. I guess he wants to go somewhere where he's not, you know, comfortable, kind of be on his own, and And I'm sure that was maybe a little bit of a factor for Brandon and his decision to go out of state, whether that's Tennessee or Michigan.
See, Chris, you and I have been doing this together so long now, you read my mind, and that's... Now, I want to alert our listeners that we're not all talking woe and gloom, decommitments and kids going out of state. Mm-hmm. Since I last had Chris on, there have been a couple commitments, and we're going to talk about them after our break. But before we go to break, you know, Hutch Eckerson, who may be my favorite name among this year's recruiting crop, you have an update on the excellent TechSideline.com pass section that he does have a new leader. Of course, you have a question mark there, so I guess it's kind of does he or doesn't he. But tell us what's the latest with Hutch, who is a 6'6", 270-pound offensive lineman from Lumberton, North Carolina, which, here's a piece of trivia that will amaze you, exit 22 off 95 going towards South Carolina. I can't remember a kid's first name. All right, Greg Brandon, who knows? But I can tell you what exit the kid lives on. Anyway, tell us a little bit about Hutch.
Well, Hutch, you like his name. He's even better kid to talk to. He's just got a great personality and a great person and a very good football player, really, at the North Carolina-South Carolina Shrine Bowl, really performed well that week and I think made his status even more solid than it once was. He's a solid three-star kind of offensive lineman. I think a lot of people like him. Obviously, Virginia Tech does. Heading into it, he made an official visit to South Carolina last weekend. And heading into that visit, I was kind of thinking it was either Virginia Tech or North Carolina State. And following that, he just had a blast at South Carolina. He told me he really got along with a lot of the recruits there. I think they talked about making South Carolina kind of into a contender and being the class that would turn South Carolina into that contender. He really liked Coach Spurrier and what he had to say. And the thing he kept talking to me about was that opportunity that I just mentioned in terms of making South Carolina a contender and being the class that did that. That's what really appealed to him, I think, the most. And felt comfortable. But Hutch, true to his word, is certainly going to take. He's going to take his official visit to Virginia Tech this weekend. He did tell me from the beginning that he wanted to take at least four official visits. He actually told me he wanted to take all five if he could, but he's probably just going to take. He's just going to take four, and he's going to make a decision after his visit to Virginia Tech this weekend. And I still think Virginia Tech certainly has a shot. Virginia Tech's been number one or at the top of his list for a long time. And they'll get their shot this weekend. So it depends on how the visit goes. I think Virginia Tech certainly has some work to do because I do think South Carolina is in the lead right now. But I do think Virginia Tech can do it. And what's interesting is after the official visit this weekend, he comes back and Steve Spurrier is scheduled to come in for an in-home after that the visit to Virginia Tech. So we'll just have to see how everything plays out, but I think it's going to be a pretty close one between South Carolina and Virginia Tech.
Tell you what, I would really love to be a fly on the wall for a Steve Spurrier home visit because I bet he can lay it on thick. Man, that must be something. But anyway, we're in the middle of the TechSideline.com recruiting report with ace recruiting reporter Chris Horn. We've been doing the doom and gloom segment first. We're going to get to the good news now because I still think Tech's putting together a pretty good recruiting year. And since Chris was on last week, we have had the news of two commitments. And it's interesting. Chris wrote his report for Tech Sideline. I wrote mine for the Times-Dispatch the next morning. And the same thing jumped out to both of us because it's obvious. Chris and I are nothing if not smart. You know, Mario Edwards, the defensive back from Westlake High in Atlanta. Oh, what's significant about that? Tech goes like 30 years getting nobody from Georgia. Mm-hmm. Last year they get two pretty good ones. The two they really like, Dorian Porch and Sergey Orenda, are just officially re-enrolled. Do not be surprised if both are playing next year and I guess Sergey would be a true freshman because he got out in time and didn't enroll till January. And Dorian Porch, possibility at Rover if they move Aaron Rouse back to Whip. Doing well in Georgia, and it sounds like they got another good one here. Like I said, and as we talked earlier, this is one of the reasons they got out of Florida, because the ACC gives them a better avenue into the Carolinas and Georgia. 1977, I think, may have been the last Georgia signing before last year. May have been even earlier than that. But now, two last year. Mario Edwards this year. Tell us a little bit about Mario, Chris.
Mario is a 6'2", 192-pound safety prospect out of Westlake High School in Atlanta, Georgia, and as you mentioned, Virginia Tech has done a very good job in Georgia, particularly with Render and Porch. And as you already touched on, those are two kids I think, at least certainly from what I hear, that they're pretty high on right now.
Yeah, let me interject here. In preseason, They moved Render from the defensive line to the offensive line, and he was running second team, like, right away. And may have played some, but there were some issues that needed to be cleared up with the clearinghouse, which doesn't mean anything negative about Render. There are all kinds of little things, like checking out a course to make sure it actually qualified. There's all kinds of things that can cause that. And by the time they got it straight, it was, hey, son, go home and re-enroll in January. Don't start your clock now. Because you get 5 years to play four, and if you enroll in January, the whole gray shirt thing, you go through spring practice. You still have the option of red shirt in the fall. So it was a good deal for him, and they're very, very high on him. Aaron Brown, the signee we talked about, is now, and we can say a signee, he was a commitment earlier, he's enrolled. And I would not at all be surprised to see Render and Brown, if not in the two deep, in the one deep next year. Both those kids can play. And they love Porch as a future Rover. Now, if they can come up with a whip and leave Aaron Rouse at Rover, they'll do that. But if not, you know, they feel very comfortable that Porch could be ready. So, now that I've interrupted, go ahead and tell us about Mario Edwards.
Not a problem, and I'm sure they're hoping Mario will kind of be as effective and that they'll be as high on Mario once he gets there. And Mario's a guy that Virginia Tech's been on for a while. He's actually had Virginia Tech as his top school for a long time as well. He took an official visit to Blacksburg for the Miami game that big recruiting weekend there, and had a great time, and he's actually coming back to Blacksburg here, and I believe either this weekend or next weekend on an unofficial visit with his parents just to kind of check it out a little bit further. But he decided to go ahead and commit to Virginia Tech. He went to Central Florida on an official visit. I believe it was either last weekend or actually the weekend of the 6th, and felt it was time to go ahead and commit to Virginia Tech. He didn't want to lose out on a spot. And especially since Virginia Tech has been up there for him for so long, and in terms of Mario, just from what he tells me that from what Coach Ward has told him, in terms of what Virginia Tech really likes about him, it's his versatility, and that he can, from what he told me, he could play a lot of different defensive back positions, and you know, versatility is certainly something that I know any team likes with particular Virginia Tech and their defensive backs. And and you mentioned such as Aaron Rouse can play Rover or he can move to whip, and you know, I think Mario is going to bring some versatility as well to the defensive backfield. I'm not sure he can play cornerback, but I do think he can certainly play safety or perhaps Rover. We'll see where that ends up there. But very, very solid prospect out of Georgia, and I know he was a solid pickup for Virginia Tech in terms of the defensive backfield.
I did a story earlier this year on all the Virginia talent. Now, 89 of 106 at that point were Virginians, and depending on who started a given game, you could start 22 or 25, including specialists. And their national recruiting analysts I talked to all rank, you know, the big ones, obviously, California, Texas, Florida, your top states. But in the next tier, I mean, firmly in the top 10 and maybe in the top 6, among those schools, Virginia, Ohio, Georgia. So this is a very ripe territory that Virginia Tech has decided that, hey, as an ACC presence, we can get there, because a Georgia kid can not only get to games at Georgia Tech, the Carolinas are an easy drive. So they've really, and I think it was a good decision, not only because of the Florida things we talked about, just because, and the guy said, too, the Carolinas, maybe not quite at that level, but awfully good. So instead of getting second-tier talent out of a state like Florida, which is still pretty good, you can get top-tier talent out of Carolinas and Georgia, and I think they've really, really done a good job there. Now, the other commitment since we last talked, Chris, is from Maryland, which is old recruiting turf, and I got to admit, this one went right by me. Last couple of days have been nuts for me. People around there going, yeah, Harris is talking about a kid he had in the paper. Yeah, well, we got that covered tomorrow. Sorry about that. Things happen. You know, 8 million commitments hit. Sorry. I apologize. But Chris Horn was all over at Owings Mill, Maryland, Newtown High School. Douglas McNeil, tall and skinny, 6'4", 190-pounder, made the small school All-State up there. Sounds like quite a prospect. And, you know, you say, receiver, geez, you got 100. Well, yeah, they're all juniors and seniors next year. So it's time to start replacing the Clownies, the Hymans, the Royals. And, you know, with Todd Nolan and now maybe Douglas McNeil coming in, that's a start on that.
And in terms of McNeil, I do think he could be a Sergio Render type in terms of gray shirting. I think the plan right now for him is to enroll in January of 2007, which certainly could help him and could you know, add a few more pounds of weight than getting the Virginia Tech's program in the spring. And if he needs to redshirt, like you said, like you touched on earlier, that could be certainly something that could help him out a lot. So in talking to Douglas's coach, Rich Stickle, Coach Stickle was just talking to me about what Virginia Tech likes about him. Tony Ball was the primary recruiter. They think he's got real raw talent a lot of potential at the wide receiver position. You mentioned his height, and Virginia Tech certainly done well with some tall receivers in the past, such as Ernest Wilford. And Douglas is a big, strong, physical receiver, 6'4", 190 pounds. He ran about in the 4.6 range in the 40 at Virginia Tech's summer camp. So Virginia Tech, obviously, the coaches had a good chance to see him up close. And I think, obviously, he can probably work on that breakaway speed a little bit. But in terms of, I think he's just the type of receiver that's more the big physical receiver that can go up and get the ball as opposed to maybe a speed burner, I guess. But he certainly can improve that speed. But he chose Virginia Tech over JMU and UVA offers, and he was actually going to take an official visit to UVA this weekend, but he went ahead and canceled that. And after meeting with Coach Ball earlier this week, actually, excuse me, on Sunday, I believe, Doug just felt real comfortable with Virginia Tech. Just felt like the time was right to go ahead and commit. So another very solid pickup, and such, you know, Mario Edwards and Douglas McNeil, very good additions to the class. It's 16 commitments right now, with 17 if you count Todd Nolan, who's going to sign in February as well.
Now,
so,
does Thacker count?
I do not count Thacker right now. So.
Okay. Right. See, that's another thing. I always say, you know, so-and-so is the 16th. I can never remember. Have I taken Thacker out? Do I put Thacker in? Nolan actually signed last year, but he's got to re-sign. I'm going to let you keep up with him. You've got a more fertile brain. Well, Chris, we're out of time, but guess what? You don't get off that easy. I want to go overtime with this report tonight because I got a couple other things I want to ask you. Now, when you had your holiday commitment and Chris Coleman came on, and Chris is from up near the Danville area, we kicked around the Kenny Lewis at that time rumors, which have turned out to be true. Kenny Lewis, son of former Tech great Kenny Lewis, who few people realize, he held the single-game rushing record from 1978 to 1993, 228 yards, I think it was, against VMI. His son signed in 2003 and then was drafted in the fourth round of the Cincinnati Reds. Spent three pretty unproductive years. I hate to be hard on the kid, but the fact is, you know, they weren't great years, which is probably why he's not playing baseball anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Enrolled this week. Were you covering reporting and recruiting that far back? And what was the buzz on him, and how big a deal is this for Tech?
I think it's, I was covering him back then. I do think it is it's a significant signing. His speed is unbelievable. He's certainly a sub 4.440 guy. And now he's the type of guy, obviously, when he gets back, I think he's been away from the game for a while, so he's going to have to kind of get back into playing football and kind of, but I'm sure those natural instincts that he had for George Washington Danville, I think I'm sure they will come back. And Kenny, I think he's significant because he's got that, anytime you can bring in somebody with that kind of speed, I think that's very significant. You can put him in the backfield, you could line him up at receiver sometimes and use him in kind of a lot of different ways, return roles. And I think, you know, once he kind of gets back and kind of gets into the his rhythm of playing football again and kind of gets settled down in that respect, I think he's gonna be pretty significant. Especially he's a little bit older, so he's got a little bit more obviously experience in the world and stuff like that. So I think a little bit more mature, and he'll be able to use that on the football field and perhaps maybe learn a little bit faster in terms of when he gets out there. So I think it's a pretty significant pickup. And coming out of high school, I believe he was about a 3-star rated recruit. So I'm not saying he's going to be a surefire star as soon as he gets there, but I do think he can be effective. And I think anytime you get speed like that, somebody with that kind of speed is just going to, you know, has the potential to be a pretty big difference maker.
I would not be surprised to see him in a return role as soon as next season. And, of course, Brandon Orr missing the spring with shoulder surgery. George Bell has some knee situation. He'll get a lot of work. It's a good time for him to be enrolling. They will know by August what Kenny Lewis can do. Now, the final thing for you, Chris, and I don't mean to sound like your mother. I'm not trying to nag. And actually, I'm kind of glad that it hadn't happened yet. But we got one more TechSideline.com recruiting report before actual signing day, so we'll have a lot to talk about on actual signing day. But next week, what's up? When are you re-ranking? I'd love to talk about that next week.
Yeah, that's finally done. A lot of commitments have been rolling.
Yeah, I understand. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Plus, I've been kind of toying with it back and forth. But, it's actually coming out tomorrow.
Sweet. Perfect timing.
We'll talk about.
Good. We will talk about that next week. And I'll let you go right now so you can get back to fine-tuning that. And we'll probably have a little more news. I mean, we'll know for sure on Brandon, not Greg Miner. Brandon Miner from Verina, although when he goes to Michigan, you know, he's not going anyway. Brandon Miner from Verina, who is probably going to Michigan. Talk about your rankings. We'll have plenty more to talk about on next week's TexOnline.com recruiting report. Chris, we appreciate it as always.
Thank you, Mike.